Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Take Human Action PA episode 45. I'm Calvin. I'm your host, and we've got Regina back with us. How are you doing, Regina?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. Been a pretty exhausting day, as it often is by 9 o'clock on a Thursday, but ready and raring to go with a new guest on the show. Very excited to talk to him and hear about how our campus outreach event went today. It is 4:20 after all. but anything you want to say before we bring them on?
No, I was sad that I couldn't be there myself, but I was just so impressed at how quickly and well this was put together in such a short amount of time to get to the get outreach. Mm-hmm. Just really impressive, guys.
Yeah, from what little I know about it right now, it really did seem to be that way. A lot of hands were in it and seemed to be pretty well planned. So let's find out how it went. Without further ado, I will introduce our guest. He's a Marine Corps veteran who specialized in nuclear biological, chemical defense, and air traffic control. He is a owner and partner in multiple small businesses in property management and construction. He's also the chair of the Libertarian Party of Center County, where Penn State is located, in addition to being the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania's newly elected North Central Region Representative. Let's welcome Nathan Romanek. How you doing, Nate? Are you there? Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear me, Regina?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give him a minute here. I can try one more thing. Any different? Okay. All right. Well, we'll give him a minute to sort that out. He is the newly elected region representative for the North Central region there. Let me make a recommendation, Nate. Why don't you close the tab and open it up again and just open up the same link? And that usually works. So we'll bring him back on in a minute. Sometimes it takes more than refreshing it if you just close the tab entirely and then open the link again. That'll do it. Oh, all right, he can't hear me. I forgot. Where's the link entirely and open it again? Rejoin the show. Okay. I just told him to rejoin the show. So I don't know if he saw my chat or not, but hopefully he did. While he's doing that, Regina, why don't you talk to me about why this issue is important. I think you know more about the specifics of it than I do, and you've been doing some, I guess lobbying is the right word for it on your end. So why don't you tell us what's going on and some of the things that you've been up to?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a call for, you know, some of the marijuana use in PA. It should be more accessible. It should be more affordable. It's you know, dangerously kind of tipping closer to being very corporate and less about actually the medicine part of it. So I think getting out to people and re-educating and teaching that way in a more kind of like a gentler way is really going to bring some people into the Libertarian Party.
All right, I can hear you now.
Oh, yay.
Great.
I'm muted now.
There we are.
All right, so just in terms of just finishing your thought, I don't know how much you can talk about it now, but have you made some inroads in Harrisburg, at least with the people in Harrisburg?
A little bit. It's, for me, what I've been doing as far as lobbying is a little bit closer to like Pittsburgh and specifically Allegheny County. But we're definitely gonna try to reach out there too.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, well, we'll definitely be looking forward to hearing what comes of that, because I know you've been talking to a lot of the local decision makers and trying to make some changes. You know, you think that I think this actually did work in Mike Heiss's case when he did it in Norristown, but it does seem to work less often than you think it would. Just reminding the Democrats that their party's platform favors legalization and or decriminalization. Like, a lot of them don't seem to want to go for it, but it's right there. You know, it's just remind them that that's what they should be supporting.
Right. It's an easy win. It's a very easy win. Because there's people on the other side too who want that, who even if they don't agree with some other stuff, like, it sometimes when it comes down to drugs, people start seeing eye to eye and being a little bit nicer to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so now that Nate's back, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. You know, it's been a long day, but I still have most of my voice left, so I'm glad to be here and glad to be able to talk with you guys.
Yeah. So, I do want to ask more about the event later on once we go into your background. But for now, I do want to ask you one question about the event before you do that. So,
sure.
The event was like a door knocking effort, in essence, in like the area surrounding Penn State's campus. So, with that said, how many doors do you think you knocked?
I feel like our group, I think we might have hit 1,000.
Wow.
You know, and it might have been more, you know, and I think, you know, pre-show we were talking about the numbers, and, you know, you can spend all day, you know, just really hitting it hard, and like in those mega student housing complexes where you're at, you know, you're able to go through them pretty quick because, you know, doors are relatively close from one door to the next. But even with all those benefits and, you know, hitting a lot of, you know, big numbers like I think we did today, there's so many more, you know, there's so many people here, so many students here, and you know, wow, you could spend days and days and days, you know, going as fast as you can door to door, and it would take a while to get to everybody. There's a lot of
people. Yeah. What was I saying before the show? Like 50,000 or something students, or something crazy like that. They go to main campus and, you know, doing, you know, outreach for the party, certainly on this particular date of 420, focusing on drug legalization, that certainly would have an impact there. But you know, I do have a lot of juicy questions about, you know, the details of how it went, but I do want to rewind to how you got started in the party and how you got to where you are now. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your early life, as much as you want to go into, and, you know, what made you turn towards liberty?
Well, I wouldn't say that I turned toward liberty. I think I've always been a libertarian philosophically.
Rare.
You know, as far as, you know, my beliefs and, you know, just, you know, not, and not just for myself wanting, you know, to be able to make my own choices. You know, I think that's where most people start, but I do truly believe that I've always, you know, really felt that everyone, so other people should, you know, be able to, you know, make their own choices. And I think that's one of the real important things that, you know, for our society, you know, getting that idea across that, you know, we need to, you know, really allow other people to make their own choices and, you know, we shouldn't try to control them or try to make their decisions for them. Just, you know, let people do what's right for them.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, it is interesting that, you know, you started out with libertarian ideas in your head. So is that something that your parents held? Is that what brought to you?
Not necessarily. You know, I think both of my parents were extremely service oriented. So, you know, my dad's a teacher. My mom was always involved in the community big all the time. And so there were a lot of service oriented kind of things. And I think that's part of what got me into the Marine Corps that we'll, you know, maybe talk about, you know, in my past. But, you know, it was just, I think, the way that I grew up as an only child and, you know, being able to kind of direct my own self as, you know, just an individual growing up, I think is what brought that. But, you know, I think probably kind of what you might be getting to is then, you know, how did I get to the party? And, you know, while I was very much a libertarian at heart, you know, the fact of the matter is the Libertarian Party hasn't always been able to reach everybody and get the message out to people. And so, you know, it was a little bit of a way to get me into the party because, you know, until you hear about Ron Paul and until you hear and then start working your way to hearing about the Libertarian Party, you know, there's people out there that have this mindset, I truly believe and have this belief, but don't necessarily know or have that connection to the party. And so I didn't right away, but, you know, came to and you know, have been really glad to be a part of the Libertarian Party since I've gotten involved.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess the two other points related to your background that I want to go into. So, well, a few things I've noticed just talking to individuals who are veterans, you know, if particularly if they go into it with like liberty leaning views, you know, one thing I always wonder is, some people would argue that it's contradictory in a sense going into the military while holding like liberty oriented views. So, you know, mm-hmm. What drew you to that, with that, you know, while you were kind of in the liberty space, at least, you know, in terms of your right. ideas at that point. And then the second idea would be, you know, almost no one goes in and then comes out with identical views on life and politics. So what changed by the time you were done?
Whew. That's a pretty loaded question. And a good one. I guess, you know, while I have always had a liberty-minded perspective, and I have always had a certain hesitancy about the government, you know, until you're really a part of it, and you're really, you know, you're really involved, or, you know, you really study, you know, certain historical things or are keeping up very close track, you know, maybe you don't even really recognize, sort of, you know, those things that you're talking about, Calvin, like, the contradictions and that's not to say that I wouldn't do it over again, because I would. I absolutely would. But I would also say, to sort of go along with your question, that, you know, I've obviously come out on the other end with, you know, some definite insights for sure.
Yeah. So just how about, can you name one or two particular insights that, you know, just things that struck you the most coming out of it, just from like experiences you saw, or maybe meeting certain other people that, you know, when you talk to them, really made you think about, you know, politics or the world in a different way? What were your like one or two biggest takeaways?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of servicemen and women join to serve, you know, servicemen, women, you know, they go in to serve, and so they're going in with that type of mindset, but and so they're obviously going in, you know, looking to do good. And there are definitely ways that the military does do good. You know, I know, for instance, while I was in the Pacific, you know, we responded to natural disasters. So if there was a typhoon in the area, we'd go in and, you know, show up and provide food, provide water, do things that were saving people's lives. But, you know, there's also things that the military does and has done, whether, you know, there's consent involved or not, you know, we just go and enforce our way in and do things that, you know, are really, really, really terrible. And so I don't know if I'm answering your question, but, you know, when you're involved and you see, you know, the different potentials of what can be done for the good and what can be done for the bad, you know, it really changes you. That's for sure.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So, there's other aspects to it that's more than just what people see. You know, it's always, you know, people a lot of times they just see the surface level, but, you know, when you're on the inside, there's, you know, it's, everything's always more complicated on the inside.
It's so complicated. And there's so many different experiences. You know, my experience that I had, compared to someone else's experience who was at a different base somewhere, who was on a different side of the world. I mean, it can be night and day. You know, I overall had a good experience. You know, I was in for over 13 years, and, you know, I feel like I did a lot of good, but I also saw a lot of bad as well. You know, and there's a lot of bad that happens to our service members. You know, the government doesn't hold their end of the bargain or doesn't treat you know, those men and women with the dignity that they deserve, in so many cases. And so there's a lot that we see.
That there's a complicated issue there in and of itself. And transitioning a little bit, one thing I did I forget if it was before or after we met at convention, but one thing I did hear about you was that you were very persistent. You came to what, 3 conventions in a row and were ignored at 2 of them before finally coming to the 3rd and getting some support and starting your county like that. There's definitely persistence there. So, you know, if that's been a character you've had your whole life, then you certainly have more persistence than most.
I guess, you know, just having a vision of what I think I want to do and just trying to find a way to get there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of getting to, I think, what we're, you know, going to be talking about with our event today, you know, there's such a huge, huge potential here. And there's so many people and they're young people. They're students. They're, you know, soaking up the world right now here in Happy Valley and State College. And this is the future. You know, the future is right here. And, you know, I really feel that being a presence here in State College is an absolute must. You know, to not have a affiliate that is active and doing stuff here in State College would be crazy. You know, this is a place that we really need to put our bets in here, you know. And so when, as you said, I hadn't got, you know, the support that I needed before, I kept going, because this is something that we really need to focus on, in my opinion, is this area and this community and this demographic of individuals that's really going to be the future.
Yeah, 100%. Now, Regina, I know you were a little bit more involved in the back end of this than I was. So why don't you start us off here and help us figure out, you know, what happened with the events and, you know, what were some of the experiences that came out of it?
Yeah, I mean, Nathan, the one question that I wanted to kind of ask to segue what brought you to Liberty is, what is your relationship with plant medicine, with marijuana, you know, with drugs in general, your opinion there? Like, how did that, you know, kind of merge with the Libertarian Party?
Sure. You know, that's an interesting question, and I hope I give you the answer you're looking for, but you know, I'm not sure, because the fact of the matter is I'm not a user. I don't smoke weed. I don't do really any type of drugs myself, but you know, I know people that have benefit from things, and you know, back to the point that we were talking about earlier, it doesn't even matter what I do. You know, I have this very strong belief that people should be able to do what is best for them, and I don't know what's best for them. They don't know what's best for me. This is just a, you know, an absolute truth that I really believe in strongly, that individuals know what is best for them. And so, you know, I went into this with the absolute belief that, you know, I want to support other people's rights, you know, not necessarily even mine, because, you know, this isn't necessarily something that I'm doing, but other people do. Other people, you know, this is important for them, and it's a choice that they make, and they need to be able to given that choice to do that. You know, that's their right. And I think, you know, hopefully maybe, you know, coming from my position of someone who, you know, doesn't use marijuana, doesn't use medicinal marijuana or whatever, hopefully that makes this even more compelling, because, you know, it's the idea that we have to respect others' personal choices, I think, is just such a important lesson in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. I didn't know that about you. So I think, yeah, this is a great example of how believing in true liberty is, even if it's something that you don't personally want to gain, but you want others to gain. Like, that's really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, well, maybe you can comment on this briefly too, but my understanding is that it's a big issue in the veteran community, because some of them might use it for medical treatment more than anyone else would.
Yes. Yeah. And that is, I think, another good point to bring up, because that's really important to me. You know, I've been, you know, ever since I got out of the Marine Corps, I've been very involved with certain veterans issues, you know, housing, veterans housing, you know, homelessness. These things are serious problems in the veterans community, and they're issues that I've been deeply involved with, you know, ever since I got out. And just as you said, you know, plant medicine is something that is very important for many veterans, and it's absolutely, you know, something that's important to me, and that's a good point. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, awesome. So, Gene, are we ready to get into the event or itself, or did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, I just wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, well, let's start with this then. How long are you guys out there for?
8 hours walking. You know, we had like a little bit of a startup before we got going. And then, of course, at the end, those that were still able to hang out a little bit longer before they had to get on the road, you know, a couple folks came back and had some dinner together. But, yeah, 8 hours beating feet. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone track the miles on that?
We should have. Yeah. But thankfully, you know, as I said, you know, with the way these complexes are set up and the way that, you know, the zoning is that I don't agree with, you know, it's kind of segregating, you know, the students together. You know, these apartments are close together. So there's a door there and there's a door there and a door there and a door there. And you just go from one to the next. And so we put in some steps, but probably, you know, less than you would in any other neighborhood type situation.
Yeah, it is kind of funny earlier when you mentioned the whole townies thing, because I went to an orders of magnitude smaller school that was, you know, also in Pennsylvania, and they still use that same language. There was like the students and then there was the townies. It's just like, I don't know, that always seemed weird to me, because sometimes I would, you know, I wouldn't just go to the college bars when I was, you know, in my junior or senior year. Sometimes I would go to like the, I don't know, the townie bars too. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's like the one or two places where like the college students and the townies mix. And I just found myself talking to someone one day that I thought was a student, I don't know how it even came up, but I was just talking to them. They all of a sudden said like, I'm a townie. And it's like, well, it was like they expected me to dismiss them just because they said that. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And maybe I shouldn't use that term. I don't know. You know, ultimately, you know, what I hope to have here in State College is a community where everybody gets along, you know. You know, there's been in the past, and, you know, to some degree still now, but there's been a lot of conflict between the students and the folks, the other folks that live here, particularly within student or within, you know, the municipal governments, particularly the borough, where, you know, you have this well under 1% of the population that is voting for the borough council. You know, because you've got students that, if they're registered to vote, they're not registered to vote here. They're registered to vote, you know, back home or something. And so the people who are voting for, you know, our leaders here are this very small minority of people who live here year round, who aren't students. And so there's definitely been sort of, you know, a situation in the past where this sort of conflict between, you know, we don't want students in our neighborhood kind of thing has been the efforts of council, because those are the people that have elected them, that very small, you know, less than 1% group that isn't students.
Yeah. Is that really what it is? 1% of State College is not students?
Well, the percentage that I'm talking about are the folks that are voting.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
For particular elections for our borough council and for those government positions. So you've got this. You know, if you talk to BJ and Allison, you know, folks who have been going through all this election data, you know, they'll look at our info and look at our population and be like, wow, this is crazy. You know, you've got this tiny, tiny, tiny group of people that's electing these people for this government that are controlling, you know, this population. It is massive, you know, or controlling issues for that municipality, and those issues are affecting this huge number of people, but only this very small number of people is actually electing them.
Yeah. Does that leave it red or blue though? I assume red, but I don't know. What is it?
It's blue, dark.
Oh,
dark,
really?
Blue. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. That is surprising.
That is, you know,
students that are voting.
Mm. Yeah. So that's, you know, I'm primarily talking about the borough, State College borough, but you know, one thing we talked about right first thing before we started walking around is, you know, we're going to be in several different municipalities today. You know, we walked around in several different municipalities, because the borough itself is such a very, very small area. And then you've got, Patton Township, Ferguson Township, College Township, you know, several others that make up the area around campus that then all these student housing complexes are built. And so, you know, we probably spent more time in Patton and Ferguson Township today on the north side of campus and the west side of campus than we even did in the borough today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's that definitely sounds like you covered a lot of area for sure. Wow. So Regina, what else are you wondering about?
How were you guys like received in terms of like even like a ratio to like pushback to like, oh, this is awesome, to like what is the Libertarian Party? Like, did you guys run into anything like that?
There was a lot of interesting things with sort of the numbers. You know, there was definitely people. There's always going to be that, you know, percentage of people that isn't going to want to hear your message. And so just kind of recognizing that, respecting that, and kind of leaving them with your message and kind of well wishes kind of thing, you know, have a good day, that kind of thing. You know, just recognizing that and being able to do that is good. But, you know, then there's a lot of people that, you know, they either, you know, are interested and want to talk to you about it, or they kind of think about it. They're like, huh, well, you know, maybe I want to look into this. And so, you know, giving them, you know, certain things that they can kind of think about, and then maybe, you know, just engage them in a way that's going to make them, you know, make that second thought is kind of the key with some of those, I think. Now, I think one other thing I will just briefly note, because, you know, again, the population we're dealing with is very interesting sometimes. You know, there are international students here. And so sometimes, you know, you're going through these big complexes and you don't know who's going to be on the other side of that door. And so you'll hit, you know, five different people that you talk to, some good, some bad, and then maybe the next one's somebody that, you know, you want to talk to them and you want to spread the message of liberty, but, you know, maybe they don't even vote here. So you get the message across and that's good. But you might not get a vote from them, but, you know, hopefully you did also get them to think twice about their philosophy and how they're voting wherever they are voting.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I went back and rewatched the episode that Ron Paul had on TimCast recently. And one thing he said in particular stood out, which was, you know, it doesn't matter if you're just talking to, you know, 10, 20, 50 people, you know, you don't know what kind of ripple effect that's going to have. And even if they don't do anything in the next few years, they could just remember that conversation in like 5 or 10 years. It could be the next time they see a libertarian on the ballot. Could be, you know, once they've graduated, they move to a city where they don't know anyone, and then maybe they start looking for some libertarian groups and seeing what's up with them. Right. You just never know what kind of effect it's going to have, even if you don't see it in the moment.
Yeah, you never know. And you know, there's definitely people that, I mean, if I went into this thinking that all of these people are going to be voting in Center County, you know, that would just be crazy, because that's just not the truth. That's just not how it is. You know, there's so many of these people that are, I'm working hard to, you know, get the message across to them, and then they're going to move to your county, or they're going to move to some other county in Pennsylvania, or they're going to move back home to New York or New Jersey or California, or, you know, somewhere completely on the other side of the globe. So yeah, it's important for me to kind of have that mindset of just get it out there, get the message out there, and you're doing good somehow by talking to these folks and, connecting with them, even if they're not going to live in State College next year.
It's almost better if they don't, because then they can go out and spread it. So in that sense, sure, that's like almost the best place you could have done it, is mm-hmm. then they'll after they graduate, they'll just be dispersing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not just in the one place.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on that note, though, do you think you're going to have anyone showing up to your meetings soon?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to have a few new faces here soon. While I'm definitely a veteran at organizing events, this particular type of event, door knocking, is not an event that I'm, experienced with. And so, when I was planning this, making sure that I had some real experts at door knocking and got some people from different areas to come in and help us and have groups that had, real good people was key. I think Ben Heckman, shout out to him. He was our all-star for the day. I think everybody agreed. He really was doing a great job connecting with people. And so, gathering together a team that has experience and excitement for this kind of thing is really key, I think.
Yeah, he was one of our original co-hosts of the show. So I wish him the best, and maybe he'll come back. Maybe he'll come back at some point.
Yeah, he was great today. He was awesome.
Yeah, so I'm glad to see that he's getting involved a little bit then, even if it was just for today. It'd be good to have him back more. Always love Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Regina, anything else you're wondering about?
No, you kind of answered what the only thing I was going to ask is that if anyone wanted to put on a similar event mm-hmm. or, organize, what would be some tips or things to look out for?
Whew. Yeah. And this is, I guess, in my blood since I've, got that prior military experience. We always, really take a deep look after we've gone through some sort of operation or whatever. And, what did we do right? And what did we do wrong? And we did a lot right. We had, I think, a good plan, maps, direction of where people were going to go and what places to hit. And we had a good crew. We had people with experience. But there were things that we maybe could have done better, I've kind of hit on this a little bit before, but just the vastness of the sheer size of the area and how many doors there are here. I don't think I did the best job of estimating, where we were going to be able to hit in what amount of time, but, we took notes. So, hey, this complex, you could have, so many people working this period of time, based on our experience, so that next time when we go back to do this again, we have a better idea of which locations to send people, how many people to send there, how long it's going to take them, because, I've been around State College. I was a, instructor staff here with the NRTC and, was a student. I know this place, but I don't know until, at the end of the day today, I didn't know, how long some of these things were going to take and how long it was going to take to get through some of these neighborhoods. But now we've got a much better idea and we can prepare and plan even better for next time.
Yeah, 100%. And all kind of along those lines, For you personally, what would you say was the most interesting interaction you had with someone or something that surprised you the most as you're going through it all today?
Well, I think, you know, because we were really interested in talking to people about respecting personal choices, you know, that was kind of the big topic. And then, you know, we did to a certain degree gauge people's interaction to how we wanted to talk to them about certain things. And, you know, there was, I went into it not really knowing how many people we were going to, you know, visit that we're celebrating today, you know, and so it was interesting to kind of, you know, talk to people and then be like, you know, ask questions and see if they were, doing their thing today for 420 or what the case was for them. And it was really interesting to, you know, get people's reaction whenever they, you know, really connected the dots and saw that, yeah, we like these people are, you know, in support of me, you know, and so that was really interesting for me. There was a lot of folks that really were down with that and were really pleased to see that there was actually people that were like supporting them in that way.
Yeah. Did anyone put you in touch with somebody who was with like the first, probably a campus Students for Liberty chapter, Young Americans for Liberty, College Libertarians, anything like that? Do you have any people that you ran into that was part of one of those groups?
I don't think, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, go through some of the notes from the other groups. You know, I had us kind of splitting up to cover as much area as we could. And, you know, everybody, you know, got their binder that had, you know, their maps and schedules and, you know, everything like that and some places to, you know, jot notes. It's going to take me a little while to go through that from the other groups and get all of the information from everybody. I didn't run into that myself. I'd have to check with the others and review their notes. And, you know, it was good to be able to collect a lot of information from a lot of people that we had going out. And so I'll be working on sorting through some of that data and interesting tidbits that have been left for me now.
Well, when you review the notes, I would make the recommendation that you try to find a member or preferably like an officer of one of those groups. Cause chances are anybody who is talking to you for long enough to have like an engaging conversation to the point that you would even take notes about them, even if they ended up being like a member of, or like president of the College Democrats, that still makes them like probably at most 2 or 3 degrees removed from the president of the College Libertarians or, you know, the president of the Young Americans for Liberty group or something like that. So, you know, all those political groups tend to engage with each other on some level, even if it's like a rivalry, you know, it's not like they won't know who they are. So, I would try to make those connections. And then if you're doing another event that maybe that's not an outreach event, but if you want to host a movie screening or something else along those lines, you could, you know, host an event and then invite them to, you know, co-host it, you know, something like that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I did. Cause I was in the past life, chair of the College Libertarians, and that those kinds of events were the most successful when we, co-hosted with other groups, and we had a lot of success that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, Regina, does that make you think of anything?
No, like I said, I'm just really impressed with you know, the outreach and just, again, trying to connect with people on that level that creates that, you know, genuine interaction.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what it's all about. I learned a lot today, and I think we're going to go out next time and be even better and be able to, you know, continue that and hopefully be better at making those connections than we were today. But I think we did a great job today. So we'll just learn and keep getting better, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. For sure. To the degree that you can, what would you say was some of the, you know, overall feedback or takeaways that you heard from the other people who were outdoor knocking with you?
I think that they, like myself, was a little bit surprised at some of the connections that they were able to make. You know, you don't always connect in the way that you expect. And it's really, really organic. You have an interaction with someone, and it could just be something totally random that you're able to create some sort of connection with somebody. And it always surprises you, you know, whether you just love that. There was some guy had this awesome weed shirt on today. I don't know. There's just little things that you pick up and you're able to connect with people, through a comment, through some sort of just nice gesture. There's always something that you can do to connect with people and doing your best to find ways to just be a good person that other people are going to want to be around and talk to. And
yeah,
that's just what you got to do. You got to try and find those ways to be the person that other people want to engage with.
Okay. Regina, if you don't have any final thoughts, I do have a good question to kind of wrap us up, but you got anything?
Yeah. No.
Oh, you're good? Question. Okay. Okay. So, what is next for the North Central region or Center County? What do you got on the horizon now that this is under your belt?
True. I guess planning events, I think, is something I really want to figure out and be able to, you know, get that kind of information out to people. I really do feel like if you don't have things to do, then, you know, what are people doing? They're not doing things. So you got to have things for people to get involved with, and then people are gonna, you know, there's certain people that might not be able to attend an event here or there, and you know, people have their lives, obviously, but you know, having events, I think, and you know, scheduling things and making people aware and getting that info and communication out to people is really important. So this was really key because it really helped for me understand more about organizing volunteer events for the Libertarian Party. You know, again, I've organized many, 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 many events, but not this type, not certain types of events for the party. You know, it's been other nonprofits or, you know, stuff in the Marine Corps that I've kind of had those event planning type experience with. So this, I think, really set the stage for me in my mind to figure out what's next. And, you know, we've got lots of good ideas. I know Alpha Shaw is, you know, really coming up with a number of things that the North Central region can do together or sort of in little pockets here and there, different events. You know, this season is big event season. We've got all sorts of different fairs, county fairs or festivals. You know, Alpha's looking at gun shows. There's so many events. And just looking at those and seeing, okay, what can we do? Where can we do them? When can we do them? Who can we get there? And just sort of looking, you know, get your calendar out, you know, when, you know, where can we make a big difference? You know, where's there going to be people that we can connect with, and we'll have people to be able to do that event. And just sort of planning that out, figuring out when that is. 'Cause you know, the leaders in the party, I think really need to, you know, think on a calendar mindset and come up with, what are we doing, when, where, and let's get that information out to folks. So that we can make a difference here.
Yeah. And along the lines of events, I did want to point out at the request of Allison out of Bucks County, who posted this earlier in the chat. You know, shout out to Allison, another hard worker in the party, that this coming weekend in Bucks County, specifically, I should know this. It doesn't say on here, but it's a Delaware Valley University. I want to say it's in Doylestown, but I could be wrong. It's definitely in Bucks County. Okay, it's definitely in Bucks County. Oh, yeah, here it is, Doylestown. So it's definitely in Doylestown in Bucks County, and it's Friday, noon to 8, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 10 to 6. You don't have to be there for all of that, but the Libertarian Party of Bucks County, with along with a bunch of other members from the surrounding counties and possibly even some folks from New Jersey as well, will all be coming out to help us man a table there at A-Day, which gets thousands of attendees every year. It's like a big event. People come not just like to man tables, but also just to come to the event, because there's like, it's like a it's a county fair with student clubs and organizations, farm animals, educational exhibits, pony rides, pig races. What does that even mean? Arts and crafts vendors, a tractor exhibit, food, and live music. I've heard the food is to die for. So, but specifically for us, we will have a table there. It's a giant yellow tent that you can't miss. So rain or shine, it'll be happening. So definitely come out for one or all of those days if you can make it. And then if you do come out on Friday, you can always join us for a social event that we're having afterwards at 7 o'clock. So definitely join us for that. I'll put the link on the screen real quick. It's also in the comments, but for, I don't know, that's probably won't come out in time for the podcast, but it's it would be delval.edu/community-members/a-day. So that would be the link there. So that is an example of that, exactly that kind of outreach that we're working on, out here in Bucks County. So we're looking forward to that here. Does anyone else have any other events, coming up that they want to mention?
Well, I think that's a great example, Calvin, and anytime there's an event like that, that you can set up a table, particularly one like that event that you've got a good group of people. You know, there's a, again, there's a college there, you know, lots of good things that make that a really ideal situation. And I know they've done that in the past and have done great and, you know, continue to do great each year when they set it up. So, you know, we have, you know, a little college thing at the beginning, little kind of street fair before, you know, well, at the very beginning of fall semester each year, you know, we're going to be doing that next year. And, you know, those kind of things, they're real big money makers. They're good opportunities. And so just looking onto the calendar in your community and finding what those things are, definitely finding a way to get the message out is key.
Yeah.
And that's a great one right there.
Yeah. And there is a schedule and a map on the website as well. So you shouldn't have too hard of a time finding where, our table is. But if you do, you can look at the map to see where everything is. All that information is there. So, I guess I'll just leave it at this. Do you have anything, Nate, that you want to plug or how people can follow what you're doing?
Well, you know, we're, I think doing pretty good getting, you know, some content out now. I think it was a little hard for me at first to get our Facebook and Twitter, but you know, we're at LPPA Center. That is CENTRE for our Facebook, and Twitter is / LP Center, a little simpler. So trying to do better at getting that stuff out. And I think we're doing a little bit better now, now that we've got things going a little bit more. And, you know, always going to put our events and things out there. And of course, on the calendar on the website, lppa.org. So just check out what we've got. And if there's, you know, folks out there that want to come to our Center County meetings, you know, we always make sure that they're posted there on the LPPA website. So we want to have anybody and everybody come join us. And really glad to have new members as we do. And we've been getting a lot of good support. So Come join us. Come to our monthly meetings, and love to have you.
Is there like an email that people can reach out to if they have questions?
Yeah, center@lppa.org. And again, center is kind of spelled weird. It's spelled like the county, CENTRE / at lppa.org.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe I got that correct in the comments just now. So, yes. Okay, good. Yeah. That is CENTRE at lppa.org. I wonder if that's like the English way of spelling it.
Center County.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Regina, what do you got for us?
Yeah, no, I agree that we definitely in different counties need to be looking for upcoming events and these opportunities just to go out and, you know, talk to people and start those conversations and just educate people about the party that other option does exist. So again, this was a great, I think, inspiration for everybody.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And how can people follow you?
I am the LPPA Badger on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us tonight. Next week, we're going to have another candidate on the show. Nice. Excited to get more into the local campaigns. And until then, don't forget to take human action, everyone. Bye.
Bye, guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.